Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. And tonight, we will not be having our Mama Says Words of Wisdom because Pastor Carolyn Porter is under the sheet. She is so sick on medicine, and she's taking her cough medicine that absolutely rocks her out. I don't even know if she's eaten today, but she's not feeling well. So we'll continue to pray for her. Nonetheless, we have a really, really interesting and exciting guest tonight, Jocelyn Maddox. I'm going to read you a little bit about her, but tonight she's talking about life in the Christian box, and she'll be discussing how traditionalism may act as a barrier to true worship. And I'm just going to say to you, Jocelyn, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be a part of the show this evening. How are you?
I'm just peachy. I'm fighting a little bit cold, but I sound worse than I feel. So I'm just a little congested, and I'm fighting sneezing. So if you hear me sneezing, just keep on going. I'll try not to sneeze while we're on air. But let me just read a little bit about you. Missionary Jocelyn Maddox worships at Shiloh Church of God in Christ. She's a Sunday school teacher and a children's church teacher. She also serves on the missions team at home and abroad. Additionally, Jocelyn serves on the board of Shalom House and CCEE, Community and Church Empowering Enterprises. Further, Jocelyn is the mother of three, Miss Kayla, Ryan, and Miles. All of them are love. Okay, Miss Jocelyn Maddox, let's get to your subject, life in the Christian box. So, what exactly is this traditionalism that you're talking about? How may it interfere, act as a barrier to true worship?
Well, I think that sometimes our churches, our different ministries, they're so focused on perhaps what someone might be wearing or whether or not they stood or clapped or had their hands raised at a certain point of the service rather than truly connecting with people and having them connect with Christ. When we think about traditionalism and how it's defined, the definition textbook is the upholding or maintenance of tradition, especially so as not is to resist change. And resisting change is the thing that I think serves as a barrier to really developing a relationship with Christ and subsequently worship.
So I want to ask you, let's talk about some of those. Well, check me if I'm wrong, but I think some of those traditional issues that used to prevent people's worship or cause leaders to feel as if their worship wasn't true or pure, might that be back in the day, like if you had on red fingernail polish or you wore red shoes or if you had on makeup, shoes with your toes out or relaxer. So are those some of those traditional issues you're talking about?
I think that they probably were more prominent, but they still occur. In the ministry where I am in my area, I think it's okay to wear lipstick, makeup, peep toe shoes, all of those things, but we're still getting stares for, having pants on in church versus a skirt or, those things which have nothing to do with the relationship and developing a relationship with Christ. There are mega ministries who are doing great work in blue jeans. And, you know, that should not, we should not be left behind as a reformation. And I'm not just speaking Church of God in Christ, but I'm talking about every reformation where the dress is emphasized more than the relationship. So we don't want to be left behind. There's souls at stake, and we're not reaching people because of tradition.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a minute to talk about how we got to get out the Christian box in a second. However, I want to touch on a subject that I've had other guests on, and we've discussed this as well, and I just want to get your viewpoint on it. So the whole skirts versus pants issues. Now, there are some people who attend my church who wear pants and some who wear skirts, and it goes back and forth, the adults as well as the children. And some of them have been in church all their life, so they know, they grew up, pants was a no-no. But, you know, it's, as you said, we're not keeping them in that box. Now, I want to know how you feel about, is there a boundary that you shouldn't cross, or is it just let them come any kind of way? For example, you know, there are some people who come to church and they have on tank top. Is that going too far? You know, is there a boundary that shouldn't be crossed, or is there any point that an usher, church mother, whomever, will pull someone to the side and say, you might want to cover up? Is there a line?
I'm a pretty modest person myself. Okay. And so I think that there is a line, but I think that line is I think that people will not automatically, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will eventually change. So if I come into church first Sunday, never visited before, but I know something is calling me to God, and I come in your church and have a tank top on, I don't think that that's appropriate for you to say, oh, sweetie, here's my lap cloth, cover up, okay? However, I think if it's, you know, month two and I'm still coming in with the tank tops on, so maybe we need to have a different kind of conversation, because maybe that's the only clothes you have. And then it's like, okay, well, hey, you know, sis, can you and I go out and I'll get you a couple tops so that when you come to church, you know, your breasts aren't hanging out. I also think that the Holy Spirit convicts us of things that we should or should not do. I want to be careful that the line is not being drawn by man.
Okay.
Let God draw my line.
Okay. Okay, so now I have to.
Come on.
I have to challenge you on that one. It just, you know, play devil's advocate. So
yeah.
Let God draw it. You know, my level of God may not be your level of God. And so where it's okay for me to wear tight jeans, the same jeans I wear in a club, into my worship service, not because that's the only thing I have, but, you know, it's come as you are. You know, some people really take that attitude with Jesus said, come as you are, come anyway. And I just like to, before you answer that question, just further the conversation and saying, sometimes I've had to speak to a few people and I've just said, well, when you go to a concert or you go to a party or whatever, you buy an outfit for that. When you go to prom, you dress appropriately for that. You know, there's a certain look that you have for that, a certain wear. Why not when you go to interview for a job? You wouldn't come in there, and if you did, you wouldn't get a job. Why not have that same attitude about coming into God's house? So what do you say about that?
I think I agree that it is okay to discuss what someone is wearing, tight jeans, tank top, whatever. But should that be happening on day one?
No.
First Sunday? No.
No.
I think there is a time. Okay, so then we agree. So I think there's a time and a place for those things to be addressed. Do I think that his or her tight jeans should prevent him from coming in the building? No. And so I
no.
think So I'm just saying there's steps to this process. All I'm saying is it's not going to happen overnight. What clothes they wear, all they might know to wear are tight jeans. So if no one ever talked to them about wearing anything different, then they won't. So even if you send them to the store to buy something else, they're still going to go buy tight jeans. Now maybe this time they won't be the low rise, so that when they sit down and their booties are hanging out, but maybe they'll still be, you know, tight, slim fit, or, you know, the leggings or whatever. So it still has to be a process.
So you're saying timing is what's the most important.
Absolutely. And the type of approach. You know, if you're approaching me in love, you know, there are preachers that will address attire over the pulpit, and that person ain't never coming back to church again. You know, that's one of those Christian box type of things that will prevent people from engaging with us and enjoying our community. Whereas if it's done in love, like perhaps one of the ways that you just suggested earlier, I know there's church mothers that can say, hey, sweetie, you know, let me talk to you for a minute. And they'll explain, you know, why a tank top is not appropriate. It's not that, you know, you can't wear that outside, but when you wear that, we don't want the men to be distracted by your breasts. We want everybody to be able to fully participate in the worship experience. But if you come in here with all your stuff hanging out, you know, that's a distraction and an impediment from God. It's not about the fact that, you know, this is church, this is the house of God, and you should be a certain way in the house of God. But talk to them about what it means. Give meaning to it.
Okay, so I don't know whether these are your points, but I'm pulling these points from what we've talked about already, is that we have to be careful of our timing, because time is important when you speak to someone, and then that tactful approach. Your approach must be tactful, and then when you explain to them, what did you say, give meaning? What did you say? Just say.
Right, yes.
Give meaning to it, not just because it's a building, it's a house of God, but add, give meaning to it. And that goes not just for the ladies, but for the men with the sagging jeans. Is
Absolutely.
It okay to tell a gentleman who has sagging jeans on day one to ask them to pull them up in the house worship? Is that okay? Day one?
I think the same rule applies.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. I really do, because, again, we don't want to run people away.
Okay.
Have I done it? Yes, because I usher as well. I didn't put that on my list. But, I, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, sir, can you please pull your pants up? And, you know, or young man, can you please pull your pants up? You know, but it's not like, boy, you better pull them pants up. You know what I mean? It's not.
Right.
It's tactful. Or even if I've seen a young lady who may be showing a little bit too much cleavage, out, like maybe do a sign to say, you know, pull up, and you know,
right.
she you know, smiles, and I would do that to anybody that I see on the street. There's young
okay.
men, there's teenagers who live next door to me. Honey, come here, let me talk to you about them pants. You know, and I've done it.
Right.
I do, because I care about them. I care about, you know, how they're perceived, and I care about who's looking at them. I don't, just as much as I don't want men staring at the young women, I don't want women staring at our young men, because that happens
right.
as well.
Well, look at Jocelyn being nice, caring. All right.
I try.
So.
I try.
You try. So... tell me a little bit more about some of these traditional things, or things that are in this Christian box that keeps our lives hidden. Help us to get out this box. What else do we need to address or look at?
Well, first let me just say that a lot of things are from my personal perspective, drawing on my
okay.
personal experiences, and my experiences may not be the same as some others, but I can tell you that I often, you know, ask people, like, you know, as you're talking about, you know, relationships with God, I said, well, why don't you go to church? Like, I'm just curious. And a lot of times they're just like, church is not my thing. Church is too strict. them people are hypocrites. Like, I mean, the list is so long. So prior to our call today, I asked, you know, three different people, varying age groups, and I just wanted to know, why would you not go to church? And so I'm going to start with the one who is almost 40, 38 he is, and he often talks to me about the relationship he has with God, and, you know, I hear back some of the seeds that I've planted over the years. And but bottom line, why don't you go to church? He said, you know what, for a long time, I felt like church people were hypocrites because I didn't understand that just because you go to church don't mean you just automatically stop sinning or you automatically become this perfect person. That is like the right side of my box, okay? The right side of box is that church has been presented as this perfect, this way to be become perfect. And we miss the message of grace, and we miss the message of forgiveness, and we miss the message of the love of Christ, and we miss all these wonderful messages. And then people say, well, I can't be like sister, mother, you know, cousin, my grandmother, God, right, I can't be like her. I'll never do it. I'll never make it. And so we've created this perception that I got to do it all right. And if I don't, if I see one that doesn't do all right, then he or she is a hypocrite, not realizing that salvation is a process, that it takes God some time to work on us, just like he did with various characters in the Bible. And I think that's, you know, if I have to say, like, that's my right side of my box, because, dang, I ain't going to make it. Time to you, like, quit and said, you know what, well, maybe not you. But I've said, I quit church today because I'll never measure up.
Okay, so do you want me to let you finish building your box, or do you want me to challenge or play devil's advocate on that point?
Well, let's stick to that point. Come on.
Okay. All right, let's go. So, all right, so for that argument, the church is hypocritical and I just can't live up. And so we've missed that whole, and I totally agree with you and I understand. We missed that whole grace, love, God is loving. But how do you speak to those who just wants the ride argument and that's it? They don't want to go any further. They rather live in grace, never trying to push themselves to live a clean and holy and a sanctified life. They just want to stay there. Well, God's not going to punish me because he loves me too much, or God's not going to allow anything to happen, or he understands. Well, I'm just being truthful. I hear that a lot. Well, I'm just telling the truth. But it's just like, come on, when do you get past that? Or people who just want to sit on that street, park on that street, and stay right there and that.
Okay, so I've had this discussion once save, always save, right? I'm sure you've had that discussion. Right, a million times. And no matter what I do, that one day, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we can debate that. That's a whole other conversation. But I would agree, and I would say that for those who are truly seeking the Lord, then He will make a change in your life. It doesn't happen. So I've heard a testimony of, you know, one of the elders in my church that he used to be a drinker, and the day he got saved, God removed the taste of alcohol from his mouth. He never drank again. Bravo.
Right.
That's not everybody's testimony, though.
Sure.
Some people, it takes a couple years. So I would say for those who are truly seeking the Lord, then, yes, God can make changes in your life. But there are some people who their reward is going to be here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's all you want, then that's all you're going to get.
Okay. You said if that's all they want, that's all they're going to get.
Well, and I'm sure I can be silent on
that point. I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, unfortunately, some people won't. You know, some people are just born and they're just not going to make it in, but I wouldn't want to be caught on that side.
Absolutely not.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's the bottom of my box. There's
seven
at the top.
To,
in the bottom is hell. Right. Okay. So the bottom is hell. I still believe in heaven and hell. I'm not here to say everybody's going to heaven. I don't necessarily agree with that theology because I do. But look, you know, we have something to look forward to, and that's heaven, and that's the top of our box. And that's, you know, that's where freedom and liberty and love and grace and kindness and mercy, that's where all of those things dwell, for me at least. And the bottom is hell. Now, I believe there's a place between in that middle stage where we often find ourselves, like when we're seeking the Lord and we're seeking his direction and his guidance, and because we still got to dwell, right? In
right.
That, you know, we've dwelled inside the box. And so that's where that kind of life happens. So that's, you know, that's where I think that we fall as far as being dwelling, existing in the box. As far as the left side of the box, I think that could be, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can insert, you know, in different. Well, let me just say this. Excuse me. On the left side of the box, I think it's always that thing that can tug you back.
Mm.
Like, okay, I could go and do this, or I could answer this text tonight, or I could just make one phone call real quick, or I could, you know, and the list is long. And
right.
Evil is always present. It's not going anywhere. You know, it's the devil and his imps and demons, they exist. So there's things that can always drag you to back or to in the wrong direction, and that creates the left side. But I honestly, I don't want people to live inside of a box.
I think I kind of missed a part of the box I was going to comment on. I think the left side for the retreat, for our retreat, we call them extinguishers, or those things that can that extinguish your fire and keep you from growing.
Yes.
Towards God. And so I wanted to say that sometimes people think, oh, there's always a misconception, that perception that all extinguishers are, I can't think of the word, but they're like smoking or drinking or something material that you can do. But I think we discovered during the retreat that there are extinguishers that are emotional and psychological,
mm-hmm.
and your feelings and anger and fear and not feeling like you're measured up and all kinds of different things other than just the natural things that you can, it's like smoking weed. Okay, smoking weed, if I get around someone who drinks, I can't be around them because that'll pull me back. Or if I smell the smell of weed, it makes me want to go. It's not always those natural things, but there are other situations, your past. Some people can't get past their past. But, you know, they can't move past. That'll pull you back in. So I just want you to recap for me the size of your box in case I think I missed one. The right side is?
The right side. I should have wrote these down.
I think the right side.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I thought you said that the right side were the things that the grace and the you know, knowing God, that hypocrites, people being hypocrites.
Right. I do have it written right here too. Okay, so you're right. It's the hypocritical things, but where we neglect to talk about God's love and his grace and his, you know, his mercy, we forget about those things when we only focus on the perfection of being a Christian.
Okay, focusing on perfection and not the attributes or characteristics of God.
Right.
And what he does. Okay. And the left side?
And the left side is those things that are temptations. Evil is always present, and not necessarily like the physiological temptations as you described earlier, but anything that hinders us or sets us, gets in the way of our relationship with Christ.
Okay.
So that could be our past. That could be relationships. That, I mean, the list is endless.
Selfishness, things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Just being mean.
Right.
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness is huge. That not only hinders us from Christ, but it hinders us from relationship, not just a romantic relationship, but just a friendship. It's a huge barrier.
Right. That's true. And the bottom of the box, you said, clearly was hell, right?
Right. And I don't know if I need to elaborate on that.
Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just hell. We know that if we sin, that's where we're doomed to spend eternity. And again, I know there's theology that hell really just doesn't exist, or that hell is here on earth. I mean, there's a lot of different theories out there, but I believe in the heaven and the hell of the Bible. And there will be people who go there. And that's unfortunate.
And I'm not trying to be one of them.
Right, and that's why our job is so important. Like, souls are at stake.
Yes, that's true. And did you tell me what the top was, or did I miss that? The top of the box was heaven.
Top is heaven. Right. And just in conclusion, we really don't want to build these walls of the box for people. You know, we want people to have the liberty in Christ Jesus. What that looks like for me and what that looks like for you and what that looks like for others is different. We know that we have a different generation. We have different communities. A lot of people only, you know, communicate through social media. Some people prefer to communicate in small group setting. A lot of people just don't seem to feel like the building, the edifice of the church is important anymore, because they are connecting in different ways. But that connection needs to be God-centered. One of the young people, and I know we're almost out of time, one of the young people that I spoke with earlier today said, you know, I don't feel like I need to come to church because I've created a community outside. And my rebuttal to that was, so are they like-minded? Well, some of them are.
Right.
Okay, well, if only some of them are, how are you all keeping each other accountable? How are you, you know what I mean? And really, are you really going forth and seeking the Lord? And if you are, you know, okay. For me, my personal preference is to be in the edifice, to be in the building.
Right.
I enjoy it. I enjoy the worship. I enjoy feeling the presence of God. I enjoy communing with the people who have been assigned to this ministry, and that's my preference. But I am really concerned about those who aren't making those connections.
Right, because I think they're missing. I know when I do praise and worship, I talk about corporate worship. It's key. It's important, and the Bible says, "Forget not the assembly of yourselves together." We got to come together so that we can edify each other and build each other up. And that's not to say that can't happen outside the church building, but it's just something about being in a holy, sanctified place that's supposed to be set aside and sanctified for that purpose, for that corporate worship. And I hope that most of you have, all of you actually, have gotten something from this Christian box, the bottom, the top, the right, and the left. Thank you, Jocelyn, for agreeing to be on the show. And we have to have you back on soon, because you have quite a few other topics that we have to discuss. But I thank you for agreeing to be on the show. And I thank you all for listening. And I pray that you all will find your teachable moment. Thank you. Until next week. Good.